Support for the Morning News comes from the Homer Foundation. Spring is a busy season for community grantmaking on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Scholarship committees meet, city grants are awarded, and the Homer Foundation's Youth Advisory Committee reviews proposals and recommends funding for youth-focused programs. Information about community grants, scholarships, and the Homer Foundation is available at homerfoundation.org. The Homer Foundation. Give. Grow. Grant.
Today is Thursday, June 18th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. Over the summer, Homer Public Library offers many events for Homer youth. Some are ongoing, full summer events, and some are coordinated workshops. Emily Springer visited the library to share some of what is being offered this week.
The week of June 15th offered a two-day workshop with the Lingonberries, a music duo, Stephanie and Eric Quirth from Kodiak, who stopped in Homer to offer a music construction workshop after ending a road tour. The Lingonberries offered workshops in Kenai and Homer through the public libraries and share similar music construction workshops for homeschool students during the school year in Kodiak when they're home. In Homer, the workshop focused on creating a musical loop by adding various sounds and experimenting with different effects like reverb. During the workshop, youth participants discussed the rhythm and ambiance of the sounds they created, suggesting elements such as atmospheric sounds, reverb, and layering of high and low pitches. As a group, they imagined a scene involving a fight with magical powers, a police chase, and a superhero in a city setting. Specific sounds like rain, honking, and sirens were recorded and layered to enhance the urban atmosphere. The session emphasized the importance of listening and riffing off each other's ideas to build a cohesive musical piece. As Eric Quirth explained,
and that's kind of like the message with my workshops in general, is like, this is how easy making music could be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to require years and years of practice. You can make quality things right here, right now.
On Thursday this week, the library will offer nature journaling for teens with Kristen Link. Kristen's website introduces her as a science illustrator, field artist, and writer based in an off-the-grid cabin near McCarthy, Alaska, on the edge of Wrangell-St. Elias National Park and Preserve. Her work combines careful observation, scientific accuracy, and drawing from life to communicate the complexity and beauty of the natural world. Her first book, Discover the Art of Field Sketching, published by Timber Press in April 2026, draws on a decade of teaching field sketching in Alaska. She has led artists in schools residencies in rural Alaska communities from Gambell to Metlakatla for all age ranges. Link explains that the book shares her process for doing field sketching from the perspective of being a science illustrator, looking at all different kinds of subjects, starting with flatter subjects like leaves and feathers, and then building up form, looking at plants and landscapes. In terms of the upcoming workshop, she explains,
Nature journaling is a super fun tool because you can think about art and make art, but it also is really not about making art that you're going to hang up on the wall. It's kind of about spending time with whatever you're sketching and about the process. So drawing diagrams and sketches can be a part of it, but so is like writing notes or making measurements, asking questions. So it's a really fun kind of like way to look at something from different perspectives. And if people aren't comfortable drawing, it's a great place to start, and it can take some of the pressure off of like the art aspect of how does it look or am I a good artist.
Link is also in Homer to participate in a collaborative project coordinated through the University of Alaska.
There's a project that's kind of just starting this year with artists collaborating with scientists doing research in the Gulf of Alaska. So we're gonna see the exhibit that's up at the Pratt Museum right now, which is the Boreal Forest Stories Echoes, kind of something that came out of another Boreal Forest Stories in a Time of Change project. And then we're going to go across the bay and do a retreat in Peterson Bay Field Station.
Cinda Nufziger is the Homer Public Library's children librarian, who coordinates most of the events for the summer. Additional upcoming events for youth and more are available by searching the Homer Library website. For the nature journaling workshop, no experience is needed and all materials are provided. Registration is required through the library website. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
and science recreation and conservation converged Saturday at Kelly Lake on the Kenai Peninsula. That's where biologists and birders hiked to a nesting site to observe loons and learn more about the threats they face from certain fishing gear. KDLL's Ashlyn O'Hara tagged along and has this story.
Tamara Zeller stands on the shore of Kelly Lake near Sterling, squinting and pointing across the lapping water. She's the loon expert for U.S. Fish and Wildlife's Alaska Migratory Birds Office.
Directly behind it on the farther shore, there's kind of like a dead brushy area. Just follow that to the right.
Okay.
And there's a, and then there's underneath a bush.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And once you get it, once you get it in binoculars, you can see it with a naked eye. But it just looks
Zeller and a small group are looking for a spot of white and a landscape of earth tones, the snowy chest of a nesting loon. Loons are those big water birds with a black head, white speckled wings, and red eyes. They carry their chicks on their back, eat fish, and breed on freshwater lakes during the summer. Kelly Lake is a designated loon nesting lake by the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge and the Anchorage Audubon Society. And it's where the Kenai Watershed Forum and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are hosting this year's Loon, Line, and Lead event. Zeller says the Day of Loon Education gets its alliterative title from the leading causes of loon deaths.
People leave their fishing line behind and they get entangled. So we have tons of pictures of loons with, you know, fishing line wrapped around their beaks, there's their legs and their feet and their wings, and then they can't dive and they can't feed themselves or preen or even take flight when it's time to migrate.
That's the line of loons, line, and lead. The lead refers to lead fishing tackle and lead poisoning, which can be fatal to loons who ingest fish that have been caught and released with tackle still attached. Zeller says anglers should consider pivoting to other metals for sinkers, like tungsten, which has a density similar to lead. The Kenai Watershed Forum is the event's other lead organizer. The Soldotna nonprofit's top mission is cleaning up fishing line and other debris that threatens local waterways. The group also deploys volunteers to rivers and streams around the Kenai Peninsula during fishing season. The hike came one day after the Kenai River opened to sport fishing for the summer. The fishery draws anglers from around the world seeking wild Alaska salmon. Lynn Schmitz was one of the roughly 20 or so people who participated in the educational hike. She volunteers with Friends of the Alaska National Wildlife Refuges, a statewide nonprofit, and says she joined because she likes loons.
I think they're pretty, and they're just such a, they represent nature and wildness, you know. You're not going to see them that much in town or anything, you know, and I just really like them. They got a mystique to them.
To get to the best view of the nesting loon, the group treks about half a mile down the Seven Lakes Trail. A refuge park ranger sets up a spotting scope, and people take turns hunching over it for a better view of the bird. The loon peers back at the group from a shady spot on the opposite bank. It'd be easy to miss if you didn't know it was there. Zeller, the bird scientist, says loons are more than just a pretty face.
They are indicator species, so if loon populations are doing well, it means freshwater systems are doing well, marine systems are doing well, because they live in both of those environments.
Zeller says healthy birds mean a healthy environment, which means healthy people. Zeller also shares some fun facts with the group during a brief lecture. Loons only lay 1 to 2 eggs at a time and can live up to 30 years. No one really knows why their eyes are red, and Alaska is the only place in North America home to all 5 species of loon, each of which has its own call. Later, Zeller mimics one, the tremolo.
Well, there's so many. There's 5 different calls, like the whale, the yodel, the tremolo, like...
Zeller says the birds are also good teachers. Loons are a reminder, she says, that Alaskans are lucky to have an iconic bird living among them, and that it's easy to take what you have for granted. To close out the day, she sends the group home with loon bumper stickers. One on her own truck says, "Love a loon, lose the lead, and pick up your line." Reporting from Kelly Lake, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
This is KBBI AM 890 Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward, through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org.